Welcome to Copper Country Today, here at Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guest in the second segment will be Abhi Kantamnani from the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team to discuss the latest news regarding the energy crisis in the UP. But for now, I am joined by David Mackey from the Finnish American Heritage Center here to talk about Häkin Päivä festivities. Thank you, Mr. Mackey, for joining me today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate the time.
So let's start off, just for the people who might not know, give us a little bit of a background information on Häkin Päivä and what it is.
Well, it's a midwinter festival that started in the late 1990s, and it was the original festival was developed as a way to have something going on when there was a group of Finnish Americans in the area for another reason, and it caught on so well, and it took off from there, and we're now in, I believe it's the 16th or 17th year. I'm not a math major, but it's been going on and growing each year since that time in 1998 or 99.
Häkin Päivä, what is the translation?
Literally, that's Henry's Day.
Yes.
In Finland, they have something called name days, which isn't something that's really familiar here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Each name for a person is assigned to a day of the year, and Henry or Henrik's Day is in mid-January, which is in folklore ways believed to be the midpoint of winter. We're not actually celebrating Häkin Päivä on Henry's Day this year, but it does always fall in the middle of January.
What is the celebration like in Finland?
This is a Finnish-American event. It actually caught on in Finland because some folks over there saw what we were doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is totally a Finnish-American creation. One of my colleagues, Jim Kurti, is the driving force behind this event, and this is something that was created here to celebrate the way we do things here.
And in terms of, I guess, this holiday, what would you equate it to in terms of American holidays?
That's a tricky one because I'm not sure that there's an accurate comparison to any one particular American holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just a way that those of us up here, whether we have Finnish roots or not, find a way to make the best of winter rather than let it get the best of us. And by doing so, we also take the time to celebrate the Finnish and Finnish-American traditions that many of us have had in our family for generations.
The Finnish theme committee, you told me that, I mean, you've been briefly involved in it, but what is their mission?
We exist to keep the Finnishness of the Copper Country alive and prominent. This area, the four or five westernmost counties in Upper Michigan, are the only counties in the entire United States where Finnish is the predominant ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And in a general sense, it's between 1/3 and 40% of the population around here claims at least some Finnish ancestry. And we make it our role to keep that out and about in the community where people can see it and experience it. And even if you're not Finnish, you can maybe understand your neighbors a bit better.
And in terms of anybody wanting to be a part of it or to be involved, is there some kind of process involved in that?
Show an interest. We're always looking for folks to be a part of the committee, and it's more than just Häkin Päivä. This is where we really show our stuff. But the Finnish Theme Committee is actually active all year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it doesn't get as noticed as much when it's not the middle of January, but we always have something going on, and I think maybe it kind of falls under the radar a bit because the people around here are so used to seeing Finnish stuff because 40% of us or so are always doing that sort of thing.
So besides Häkin Päivä, what are some of the things around the years, just a couple of things that the Finnish Theme Committee is involved with?
Well, one of the early efforts of the committee is something that people see every day and they may not realize it. It's the street signs on the main street of Hancock and some of the surrounding streets. They're both in English and in Finnish. And that's one of the main efforts that the committee did in its early years, before my time, of course. But there's just things along those lines. We recently had a role last year in putting up the Midsummer Pole on Quincy Green in downtown Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that hadn't been seen in this area for a long time, if ever. And it's not it's a public way to do things, but it's also just a way to get people thinking about, wow, the Finns really had a role in founding this place, and they still have a role in keeping it vibrant.
You talked about how Heikinpäivä is mostly a Finnish-American creation. Have you gotten any kind of feedback from those in Finland that take a look at this area and how we do things? What is their perception of this area?
They're very, very excited to see that Finland is something that's on many people's minds. You know, it's in the grand scheme of things around the globe, Finland doesn't make a lot of international headlines. And, mm-hmm. and when they do, it's typically good news. They're always very thrilled to see that we take their heritage, our heritage, and put it in the forefront of people's minds.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, David Mackey from the Finnish American Heritage Center. Let's talk about some of the events that are leading up to the January 31st, the big Saturday event, the enrichment classes. And it seems like they're getting more and more popular. Are there any ones specifically that gain a little bit more popularity than the others?
Well, people always love food, whether it's mm-hmm. eating it or making it or sharing it or whatever the case may be. And the classes that we offer that involve cooking or baking of any kind always seem to be a hit. We recently had a cheese-making class that was so popular. Both sessions filled to the capacity, and we have a waiting list that's better than 10 people long. So people definitely want to learn these traditions from Finnish-American kitchens so they can carry them on into future generations.
Now, even with these baking classes, not only is it learning how to make these creations, but it gives you a little bit of historical background on the significance of these.
Oh, absolutely. I think people don't realize how Finnish they are until they stop and think, you know, about like the cheese, for instance. We've had a lot of people, they remember when grandma used to make it, mm-hmm. or mom, or any sort of relative or neighbor. And I think that touches on something we've actually had conversations on in our office. We have interns who come from Finland, and they don't realize how Finnish they are, because you don't think about being Finnish in Finland. But here, it's something extraordinary that you think about where you came from. And around here, we're more in tune with Finnish culture than perhaps even some of the Finns are when they're living it every day in their own country.
Now, I remember last year coming to the Finnish American Heritage Center and just seeing the crowd right there. There was a small little concert, and with the accordion and everything. What is it about the Finnish music that really attracts people? It really attracts a really, really big crowd.
I'm not sure that there's any one particular reason. I think it's in the ears of any beholder. I think people love music for a variety of reasons, and the Finnish or Finnish American music that's being played at Heikinpäivä just it perhaps takes people back to days in their past when they remember hearing those songs played at performance halls or at Finnish American events in the past, and it also just music in general. Gets people upbeat. It's hard not to tap your toes along to the what they're playing, even if you can't understand a word they're saying.
In terms of, I guess I wanted to take a couple steps back. In terms of planning for these events, what is the process like with the Finnish Theme Committee when you're planning out what is going to be done each day leading up to the Heikinpäivä Day?
Well, we do meet regularly in the late summer into and through the fall, leading up to December and January, where we really have to have things locked in. And what we do is we just review what has happened in years past. Mm-hmm. We base a lot of our decisions on community feedback, and we just decide what would work best in a coming year, a lot of times based on what people enjoyed in previous years or what they said they wish we would have had.
In terms of the event itself, for as long as you've been involved in, what have you seen the differences between past Heikinpäivä celebrations to maybe the one last year or what you're anticipating for this year?
Well, in a general sense, the festival continues to thrive and actually in some ways grow. There are some events that have come and gone. There are some other events that have been part of it throughout, and I think that evolution, I'm not really able to get specific on that. Nothing comes to mind as something that has definitely changed. Mm-hmm. But I think the festival is successful because it evolves to what the community is looking for. There's always an interest in cooking and baking and music. The polar bear dive and the outdoor games are always popular because people love to play outside. And the marketplace, the Tori, is something that will attract anybody because no matter where you come from, shopping is a great time. And I think it's just we continue to provide what people want to enjoy.
And in terms of there is going to be a couple of presentations and lectures.
There are. That's another example of how this festival has evolved. There are some other events going on that are tangentially connected to Heikinpäivä. There's one of the great friends of the festival, a man who comes from Lower Michigan to take part as a musician every year. He's going to be giving a presentation on Tuesday based on some of his experiences on an icebreaker. And then on Thursday, there's some folks from Finland who happen to be in the area. They're Finnish nationals who are currently working through an exchange program in Wisconsin, and they're going to be here during Heikinpäivä week, believe it or not, because their child's caregiver is from this area, and she said, if you're going that way, you need to come at this time of year.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, David Mackey. So let's talk about the big Saturday event, January 31st. First off, I do want to hit on the Hankuki Heiki. What is that? And I guess you could talk a little bit about the Hankuki Heiki for this year.
That honor is, the Hankuki Heiki is given to somebody in the area who is someone who goes above and beyond normal, for lack of a better word, efforts to preserve and promote Finnish culture in this area. And for this year's festival, the committee has selected a man named Ruben Niemisto, who's from Beraga County or North Southern Houghton County. I'm not sure exactly where on the border his residence falls. But he's 88 or 89 years old, and for much of his adult life, he was one of the driving forces behind keeping the Honka homestead going.
And I would be remiss to mention that you were the Hankuki Heiki last year. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it's it kind of leaves me speechless because I'm one who, as I've told many people, I make great efforts to stay behind the scenes, and to get noticed despite those efforts is a compliment that I really can't express in words. Mm-hmm. But it certainly is a tremendous honor to be noticed for something that you just do because you enjoy doing it. I certainly don't do what I do for a pat on the back, but I certainly enjoy getting one.
So you briefly mentioned one of the more popular events, the polar bear dive. There were some questions last year about if it was going to happen, but it did end up happening despite, in my opinion, really, really cold temperatures. In terms of this year, everything, it's good to go for the polar bear dive?
That's right. There's a fellow committee member of mine. She has taken the lead on getting the polar bear dive ready, and it'll be in the same location as last year. Of course, we are at the mercy of Mother Nature, but the forecast is much more promising. And when it comes to selecting a site for the dive, the safety of the divers is the utmost concern. So we have to make sure we have it at a place where there's relatively easy access to the plunge hole, and that there's deep enough water underneath there, and that nobody's going to leave that experience with anything but having a great time.
And people can jump for fun, but there's also a competition.
Oh, absolutely. Many folks take advantage of the opportunity to register at a different level, and they compete for prizes. What those particular categories are this year, I'm not sure. I don't get to be one of those judges. But in years past, folks have been judged on creativity, mm-hmm. Connections to Finnish culture in their costumes or presentation or whatever the case might be. So it's kind of an open door in a sense that have some more fun with it and maybe get a little financial reward for doing so.
And in terms of those who want to sign up, are there any limitations, restrictions, or anything that come with signing up for this?
It's preferred that this event be for adults 18 and up. It's just another safety rule mm-hmm. that we've been advised to have in place. And because it involves snow and ice, people should be prepared to have something on their feet. If you're running across potentially jagged or sharp ground covering on your way to or from the plunge hole, you certainly don't want to have anything happen on your way to or from the plunge.
And for those and signing up, what are the best ways for people to sign up for this?
The best way is to show up early at the dive site and get your name on the list and get everything taken care of right there.
If I remember correctly, I believe it was next to the Ramada.
This will be the better landmark to use is the Copper Island Beach Club.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's down on the Hancock waterfront, and it should be relatively easy to find because parking, like in many areas when the snow is deep, is somewhat limited. So we do encourage people who are coming down. If you're coming with friends, you should try to pile into some cars and try to conserve some parking spots, because not only do we get a good number of divers, we also get a good number of spectators.
And let's hit on the parade. What are the, I guess, expectations for this year's parade?
We certainly think it'll be a lot more comfortable both for participants and for spectators. It's always a parade that we like to have it be emblematic of the festival, that it's a community event.
Mm-hmm.
People can certainly take part in the parade if they're representing something that has to do with winter fun, family fun. In particular, we of course want to focus a Finnish American festival on Finnish culture.
Yeah.
But we recognize that not everybody around here is Finnish, so it's also about the middle of winter and family friendly activities.
And it'll be taking place. It was going to start at.
We start right near the what people would call the beginning of Quincy Street.
Okay.
The parade lineup takes place in that parking lot near the Habaneros restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade, once it gets underway, will continue along Quincy Street with it dispersing right near the Heritage Center, where people can then take part in the other activities of the day.
And that will begin at 11 a.m. and the prizes will be available as well.
Yes, we have some folks lined up who are going to be judging the parade, and along similar lines to what I said about the polar dive, these judges will be looking for creativity, Finnish cultural things. It'll be up to them to decide who has the, can't think of a better word, but who has the best entries. They're all great entries, but in terms of judging, is going to be picked out as being exemplary, and the top three will be rewarded for that.
And getting involved with that, is that the same as the polar bear dive, just showing up, or is there
advanced?
Well,
with it being using a U.S. highway, it's helpful to our parade coordinator to know if there's going to be people coming in large groups or with floats or other significant entries. Her phone number isn't at my fingertips, but you can find out more about getting involved in the parade by going to the festival website.
Let's hit on one of my favorite ones is the Tory. And I guess jumping back to what you said earlier, I guess I jump on the food. I just love seeing the wide arrangement. But it's not just food over there.
Oh, it isn't. Food is certainly one of the top sellers in the Tory, because it's the market as a whole it appeals to virtually all the senses. You
mm-hmm.
have the music playing, that's wonderful sound. You have the sound of the folks just enjoying themselves and socializing. You have the visuals of all the colorful items and the wonderfully handcrafted items that people will have for sale at their respective booths. But as you said, there's also going to be food there. And in the middle of winter, what better way to add to your celebration than to fill yourself with some warm, tasty treats?
And in terms of the people that are going to be at the Tory Market, the vendors, where are these people coming from?
They come from quite a wide range. We have folks from the local area, the region. I'm not sure what the furthest somebody comes from might be, but these folks are a lot of different artisans, if you will.
There, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of handcrafts, a lot of wonderful things. I walk through there when I get a chance, and I look at the tables, and I wish to have a portion of some of that talent.
And a lot of outdoor activities. And again, like you said, we're at the mercy of Mother Nature. Hopefully we get some very good weather. But, of course, there is the wife-carrying contest. Please explain that to the people who hear at first, and they say, whoa, what's that?
Wife-carrying contests are something that did originate in Finland. It's based on a story that goes way back into Finnish history where some folks came in, and I'm going to have to speak in general terms, but the story is related on our website, that these folks came in and kind of raided a village, and they carried away the women of the village to take them to their own village.
Oh, wow.
And it's our contest isn't quite nearly ominous.
It's not that bad, okay.
But it's based on that, and it's a contest in which the, quote, husband of a couple has to carry his wife, again, quotes around that, because you need not be married to take part.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to navigate a series of obstacles that are set up in all good fun, where they have to complete some tasks in order to get their home ready to have some guests over for coffee. And this is in keeping with the Finnish American tradition of getting ready to have people over for coffee. And this contest is as much street theater as it is an actual athletic event.
And for the kids, there is the whip sled, which is really interesting the way it's constructed. But in terms of competition, there is also the kick sled races.
That's right. We were fortunate a few years back to be able to get some kick sleds that are they're youth size only, so this is just for the kids. But they're a wonderful way to have some fun in the snow. I can't think of how to describe them without a visual, but what the young people do is you stand on the runners of the sled and you kind of push yourself along using your foot, I guess similar to a scooter of sorts.
Yeah.
And they're used in Finland both for entertainment and pleasure, but also for practical purposes. People will use these to go to and from the store, for instance, and the seat on the front is often used for a place to stow your packages when you're coming and going.
And I can't believe I missed this, but of course I do want to mention regarding the parade, the giant kick sled.
That's right. The world's largest kick sled, or at least one of the world's largest kick sleds, will be in the parade again this year. And we are working out the logistics, but this hope is that what you'll see, or who you'll see atop that sled, is this year's Hankooky Heikki. It's of course we want to make sure that that's done right, because Mr. Niemisto is an older gentleman, and if he can get up on that sled, that's certainly a wonderful way for everybody to see him and acknowledge him and applaud him for his decades of efforts in keeping Finnish culture alive here.
And the dance. Where can people get tickets?
Tickets will likely be available on the festival day at the information table right near the Tori. Also, we will certainly take people at the door. And this dance is going to be wonderful, because we have a pair of musicians coming in from away. There's a violinist or fiddler from Minnesota and her musical partner, who is an accordionist from Finland. They've been here for other events such as FinFest 2013, and they got rave reviews. We're very fortunate to have them back. Their group name is Alotar, and not only will they be at the dance on Saturday, they're actually going to be playing at the hymn-sing that takes place later today, and both of these musicians are going to be sharing their skills in different workshops in the days coming up this week. And anybody with even any sort of interest in music should take advantage of this, because we have a world-class violin player and a world-class accordionist. The accordion player actually was nominated for the Finnish equivalent of the Grammy Awards recently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chance to hear these folks, or better yet, learn from them, don't waste time. Please contact our enrichment class registration person and get your name on that list.
What, in your opinion, sets Heikin Päivä apart from all the other things that happen throughout the year in the Copper Country?
Well, the most obvious answer is that it takes place in the middle of winter when most mammals are sleeping.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But it's an ethnic event that isn't exclusively ethnic. And it goes back to what we talked about earlier, that I think people might not even realize what they do that is Finnish-connected, because it's so commonplace around here. I remember growing up, I thought everybody had a sauna, because everybody in my world did, because it's a Finnish cultural element that has made its way to the Copper Country. And I think that goes for a lot of things, be it cheese making or the music. The flavors, the scents, the tunes might be familiar to people, even if they don't have even a drop of Finnish blood in their system. So it's a way to celebrate our ethnicity, whether it's our own or our neighborhoods.
And you can definitely listen to our coverage, and we'll be updating everything that goes on Haken Paiva. And for those who want to get more information, where can they get that from?
The best place to find all of the information, because we're a multi-layered festival.
Exactly.
If you go to the website, pasti.com/Haiki, that's H-E-I-K-K-I, there's a lot of detail on that website. Or if you're looking to sign up for a class, the number is 482-1413.
All righty, well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank David Mackey for joining me on today's program. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. We appreciate this community's support, and we hope everybody will come out and enjoy the festival. We were out in force last year with the temperatures below zero, so there's a good chance it could be twice as warm this year, and I expect to see twice as many people.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. We'll be back with the second segment of Copper Country Today.